Good morning. It's 846 4CA. Coming up this weekend, starting Friday and Saturday, a wonderful new play. It's called Things I Know to Be True. Well, it's not a brand new play, but when Paul, the director, gets his teeth into it, he's going to give it a bit of pizzazz. He joins me this morning, along with a special guest, but we'll start with you. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Very well, Murray. How are you?
Mate, COVID-19 has not been good to you. We haven't seen you for a while. It was about 2 years ago since we had you in studio.
Yes, yes. We unfortunately couldn't put this play on last year, but we're 12 months late, but better late than never.
Excellent. Now, look, Things I Know to Be True, and I'm reading from a cheat sheet here. It's an intimate, tender, warm, funny, and ultimately tragic family drama about a suburban couple called Bob and Fran Price. Each of their four grown children must deal with the crisis, break the bond with their parents, and become the people they need to be. Oh, don't say that. I've got an 18-year-old. And he's still talking to me, so it's a bit scary.
Well, it's interesting you say that. I mean, a lot of people say about this play, I can really relate to X, Y, Z. I really see myself in that character, or he reminds me of my dad, you know, things like that. If you've been in a family, you'll relate to this play.
And it's interesting because I remember my partner in the past has, you know, talked about a situation certainly with our 18-year-old at home. Getting older, he was working away and she was saying, oh, I feel like I'm going through a breakup. And it's, you know, it has a real impact on people.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, he's one of the stars of the play. Well, no, sorry, let's get that right. He's actually the lead character played by Brett Neely. He joins us in studio this morning. Brett, welcome along. Good to have you along.
Oh, g'day, and thanks very much for having me.
Look, we might leave Paul to go and sit in the corner because we've got lots to talk about.
Yeah, see you later.
Good on you, Paul. But look, you play Bob, obviously the father in this this family situation.
Yeah.
But look, tell me a little bit more about your past, because Mental Health Week was not so long back, and you come back from a very distinguished career, 30 years in the Australian Defence Force, and it was actually by chance that you had kind of saved yourself by getting involved in theatre. Tell me a little bit more about your backstory there.
Okay, then. When I was going through some troubled periods there, and there's a lot of soldiers out there who are doing the same, the ADF had a project they wanted to do off the ground, and they needed 40 personnel across from the ADF, many ages, to come down and participate in what they call the arts program. Now, the arts was put in place to try and help you with your resilience, your communication skills, and adapt to your mental health issues that you're having at that time in a quite unique environment. Most environments were that they had going for mental health there were, you know, group environments, one-to-one in uniform.
Counselling, yeah.
Yeah. When we did this, we arrived in the University of Canberra. We had our own theatre allotted to us with bands, music, whatever you needed to promote a program in the arts was there. World-renowned, Australia-renowned artists in sculpture, writing, music, theatre and performance, you name it, we had it down there, and we had our own special space. There was no uniforms, there was no rank designation, so we dropped all this, and you didn't know who was who, and all you knew that you had a common factor, and that was that you had a problem with your mental health. And interestingly, all mental health problems in the army are not related to shooting it or combat related.
Sure. A lot more complex than that.
I've done five overseas deployments, and mine were a bit of 50 overseas and 50 back in Australia. A lot of people had just problems dealing with physical and mental pain, and that had never deployed on operations at all. So it was great to get surrounded, though, that many people. And the artistic people that were around you just... Once we, ADF for a very strange bunch, we sort of slink into the shadows. There's no volunteering, and we always take a step back and hide in and find a corner. By the end of this program, we were stepping out into the light and getting involved and making idiots of ourselves and wanting to play and try this and write a book and do a performance.
Okay.
We were just wanted to get, and we had full of this energy that we wanted to.
So really life-changing, you know, that's, I guess, what you're getting at, what you went through, and particularly coming from, you know, quite a distinguished career, a quite high ranking, but you got to a point where you really had some serious blockages in your life. Communication was one of the key things, but getting involved in this program, and you've done quite a few plays, and yep, obviously you're the lead in this particular play as well. So it really has been life changing for you.
It certainly has. Maybe 18 months ago, the Army said, look, thanks very much for coming, but, you know, you've got too many mental health issues for us to, you know, continue your service. Mm. So, you know, we would like you to move on and become Mr. But DVA's been really great to me. They've helped me all the long way. And, yes, that program was, in fact, and I've done a few talks, presentations on arts program across Australia, including the federal Board for Health Administration in regards to mental health in ADF, was that it was, in fact, it was life-changing. Three or four of us were in some very, very dark places when we got there. And, you know, we came out understanding that mental health is a battle that you can win. Not a battle that should get on top of your head, but it is certainly a battle. And, you know, the flight and fight context comes in, and now we want to fight it, not run away from it. Yeah, so, and it has done a lot to me, and doing my first play straight out of the arts program, I went down to Wollongong, New South Wales, and funny enough, I auditioned for a partner play, and to play a American soldier with PTSD.
You didn't even have to do the rehearsal. They just looked at your resume, I believe.
No audition required. It was quite interesting. And then I got that, and then I got posted to the Gold Coast, and then I got into another play there, and then ultimately came up here, and I've done three plays up here, two with Paul. I've waited all year for Paul's play to come around because I knew he only picks good ones. And I
like
think,
you.
Well, yeah. You know, they had the whole cast on the first read-through at the first audition. He had the whole cast around the table in tears at the end of this.
Is that right?
Yeah. And he's just sitting back laughing and going, I told you. Yeah.
Well, that's great, though, because it obviously all got you in, and you could see that it was, you know, the type of material that was, you know, obviously getting through to you guys, and I guess that's the thing that's going to do the audience as well. Mm. Let's move on to what's actually happening over the next couple of weeks with the play, Things I Know to Be True. Tell me a little bit more about the play from your own personal perspective as the male lead actor.
Well, the male lead actor is Bob, and he's the father. Seriously, I am Bob. I read this play, and I said, scratch out Bob and put Brett, because I am Bob. I can relate to just about everything, and really maybe some of the scenarios, maybe not so much, but I think that I've been Bob in this situation that I wanted a family. There's some very famous lines in the play, but there's that's all he wants life to be, and without letting too much away, and that's what I want. I want my children to be close, or close as they can be.
Yeah,
I want them to ring me up and ask for me advice. I want them to come around without asking. I just want a family. But funny enough, children go their own way, don't they?
Sure,
and then they do their own things, and you know, parents have to deal with that, and then finally you find yourself on your own some with your wife, and that's the actual whole meat of it. And they just throw all the same sort of family issues that a lot of families go through, especially fathers, at us, and we come from a different generation, and we need to be able to sort of try and deal with these the best way we can, and it's not always the best way, but that's the best way we can deal with it.
Life-changing once again. And I remember when the lag went to spend quite a bit of time out at sea, and it was like, what am I going to talk to her about? It was like I had to find a script. It's like, you know, we'll be alone tonight and we're going to have to talk about something. So I know exactly what you mean, but I think they generally come back to the fold, but we'll find out in the play. Well, look, it's obviously something pretty exciting for you, Paul, and it's been a long time in the waiting, but, you know, this does sound like it's a pretty special play.
Yeah, look, it is a special play, and as Brett was sort of indicating, it's about a journey, the journey that all the characters, and we'll say, yes, Bob is the lead actor, you might say. He's the head of the family, but I would say all six actors are, this is an ensemble piece. Yep. Everyone works together so very well. This is a story about everyone's journey, from Bob and Fran and their four adult kids, Pip, Mark, Ben and Rosie. All of them go through a journey. The Things I Know to Be True title refers to Rosie at the beginning has had her heart broken while backpacking in Europe. A young Spanish backpacker has broken her heart. She comes racing home to the certainty of mum and dad. She tries to make a list of all the things she knows to be true, and she realises it's a very short list. By the end of the play, in the final scene, she realises that having your heart broken at 19 isn't going to be the worst thing that'll ever happen to her.
She's gone through 19-year-old.
Exactly. Mean, but she's gone through quite a bit. And yeah. And the play really is about that journey of all the family, each member.
Excellent. Well, look, I believe over the next day or so, we're actually going to have some double passes. Well, a double pass to give away to go and check out the show. It kicks off this Friday, and it's actually a Friday-Saturday show, 8 shows only. Also, the following week, it's happening at the Rondo. Tickets are available at ticketlink.com.au. The director of the play, Paul Hines, and, of course, the lead actor who plays Bob. Brett Neal, thank you so much for your time in studio this morning, guys. Congratulations, and we'll look forward to seeing you up on stage. Cheers.
Thanks a lot, Murray.
Thank you very much.
Let's do it. If you'd like to go along on Friday or Saturday night to go and check out this brand new play, let's take some callers. Third caller through, 1300 872 911, and you're off to the theatre this weekend.
Each Saturday morning.